He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The word of God that I direct your attention to on this Easter morning is from the Gospel of St. Mark. We read earlier, and I'd like to read once again the last verse of our Gospel lesson, Mark 16, verse 8. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So far, the word of the Lord. In the name of our living Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends, how very strange that this gospel of the Lord's resurrection on this festival day ends with the women being afraid. We're told here at the end of the gospel that the women, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, how is that for putting a damper on Easter celebration? That Mark would describe the account of our Lord's resurrection with the response of these women who left the tomb fearful. It's interesting to note that the word used to describe the fear of the women here in our text is the word from which we get our English word phobia. A phobia is described as an abnormal fear of something or someone that does not really even allow us to function. And there's all kinds of phobias. Claustrophobia, you're familiar with that. You're afraid of closed-in spaces. Acrophobia, you fear high places. Hydrophobia, you fear water. Maybe if you can't swim, you'd have hydrophobia. Nyctophobia, fear of the dark. Microphobia, fear of germs. And believe it or not, there's something even known as phobophobia, fear of fear. And maybe that's what Franklin Roosevelt meant in the middle of World War II when he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Now, you may or may not have any phobias, but all of us have some fears in life. I don't think one of us could say, there's nothing that's ever made me afraid. And I don't know what causes you to fear. I do know what causes me to fear. You know, some people fear the future, the unknown. What's going to happen tomorrow, 5 years from today? And so there's a certain sense of fear that all of us share. Really, the good news of Easter is that Christ's resurrection is the antidote for all of our fears. It's no overstatement to categorically declare that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer for our fears. He is our living Lord who will help us confront our fears and overcome our fears as we trust in Him. He is the one alone who can turn fear into holy faith. On that first Easter morning, the women went to the tomb not really expecting a resurrection. Does anyone ever expect a resurrection, really? You know, the women hurried on their holy mission expecting to find a dead Jesus. They were bringing along spices to finish anointing the Lord's body. They weren't looking for a resurrection. And so, really, initially, they were doubters, along with the other disciples, along with Thomas. Pretty much all of them initially really didn't believe that Jesus was alive. So what about you and me? If you saw Jesus today, would you believe that he is God, the very Son of God? Would you believe that he existed from eternity, even before the world was created? Doesn't it bother you just a little bit that those who were with Jesus for those 3 years, his disciples, these women who lovingly provided for him and cared for him, you know, they all had a difficult time believing. In fact, it's not only difficult to believe in Christ, it's impossible by our own reason, but the Holy Spirit has to work in our hearts as we hear the gospel, that we have a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. They saw Jesus with their own eyes. They heard his teaching. They saw his miracles. And yet they had difficulty in believing him to be the Savior, the very promised Messiah of God. And so little wonder that perhaps in your life sometimes you have a hard time believing that Jesus really did die for you and that he loves you and that he's your Savior and that he forgives your sins. We cannot do that with human reason. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What Mark describes in this gospel is women who came, yes, out of love, They wanted to anoint the body of their Lord, their master, and yet they had their doubts. It's interesting that Mark records that these women were the first witnesses of the resurrection. According to Jewish law, legally, women couldn't serve as witnesses in a court setting. And so to me, it validates the truthfulness, the reliability of the resurrection account. Mark would have never chosen or to describe women as the first to the tomb if he was trying to convince fellow Jews that Jesus was really alive. But no, the women were the first witnesses. They were there at that tomb right away, early in the morning. The evangelist announces the resurrection of Jesus through the experience and the testimony of Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They were all there also at the place of the skull. They were there, they witnessed Jesus' resurrection. Two of them even saw the place where Jesus' body was laid, where he was buried. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that the women were at the cross, they were the first at the open tomb. They didn't run away like the other disciples, which says something to the faithfulness of these women. They were all there at the place of the skull. Now they come together at the tomb, and now they're on the way to the tomb while it's dark, as the sun is coming up, and they're there to anoint this body, because Jews didn't embalm, they simply anointed. And even today, Jewish folks bury their dead right away because they don't embalm, they don't want the body to decompose. And so the women were there out of an act of love. But as they were hurrying to the tomb, they suddenly realized that they had a problem, and they asked each other, well, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? A little problem, I would suggest. In fact, Mark describes it as a large stone, a very large stone. How could they have possibly overlooked that obstacle for them to carry out their mission? Well, I think if you put yourself in their shoes, we need to remember all that they had witnessed and undergone the last couple of days. They saw Jesus die. They went, the mock trials, darkness at noonday, the earthquake, all of these things happening and perhaps tumbling together in their mind. They simply overlooked the fact, there was a stone in front of that tomb, sealing the dead body of Jesus in there. But when they arrived, lo and behold, the stone had been moved. And they entered the tomb and they saw an angel sitting on the right side who proclaimed really the greatest announcement ever made in the history of the world, that the Son of God, the Savior who died, rose again, victorious over sin and death. The angel said to the women, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Those last words, how very vital. The angel pointed them to Jesus and his word, didn't that angel? Just as he told you. In fact, he told you he was going to suffer and die, and he did. He had told you beforehand that he would rise from the dead, and he did. You know, Jesus told his disciples that he would go ahead of them to Galilee, and he did show himself to them alive in Galilee. You know, Jesus says to you and me, your sins are forgiven because of what I've done for you, and they are. Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age, and he is with us. Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. That's his promise, and you will live, those who believe in him. That's the sure and certain hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our resurrection to eternal life is thus assured. You know, the story is told about an elderly grandma and her grandson, her young grandson, and he asked her why she had so many wrinkles on her hands. "I'm old," she told him. "Well, do you know what happens when you get old?" the boy asked. And then he continued right on answering his own question. He says, "You die and they bury you in the ground." And before grandma could answer or respond, the boy added, "Well, that's okay. God comes and unburies you." That's pretty good. God comes and unburies you. That's the hope that we have in the resurrection of Christ. Because he lives, we too shall live. These bodies that die and are planted in the ground will one day be raised by the mighty voice of the Son of God. He will unbury us. That's what will happen to us. That's the message of the resurrection. That was the message of the angels to the women at the tomb. And yet, we're left to contemplate that somewhat troubling response as Mark records at the end of the gospel. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There we come back to our fears. You may not have a phobia, but all of you have something that frightens you. It could be a relationship. It could be death itself. It could be the future. Children are afraid of the dark. Adults, we have our fears. And these women left the tomb, and they were afraid. And I think that as Mark records the women's response, that also authenticates the truthfulness of the resurrection of Christ. Because he would have never had some women being afraid after they had been assured that Christ was alive, but they were. But when you think about it, I think I would be pretty shook up meeting an angel in the early morning light of a cemetery where one I loved was supposed to be buried. I think that would have caused, my initial reaction would have been fear too, and I think that would have been the reaction. That's what is recorded here when Mark says they told nothing to anyone, they left in fear. But it didn't last. Because we know from the other Gospels that these women did go and they did speak and they did tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus was alive. I can just see them walking back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, initially fearful, trembling, not even talking to each other. The further along they got, the more emboldened they got because they realized that Jesus was indeed alive. And they declared that. They were witnesses of the resurrection to those disciples who were still cowering in fear. Jesus was alive, and he's alive forevermore. He lives to calm your fears. Again, I don't know what causes you to be afraid. Perhaps you don't have any phobias, but you surely have fears. But I do know that you have a Savior who loves you, who died for you, who rose again victorious for you, thus to assure your resurrection to life forever. At the end of our worship this Easter morning, we're going to sing that beloved hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. And in one verse, we sing these words, he lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.